Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Yes, indeed. You're listening to CWCP Radio and our Thursday program, The Worcester Report. And my name's Tony Coppell. Lorianne will be contributing her Ways to Grow in God a little later. And our interview today is with one of our neighbours. Marita Hofmeyr is not only a near neighbour geographically here in the Hoogelegen Retirement Village, but she is also currently the chair of the trustees of the body that guides and leads this wonderful community of retirees. One of you has to be 50 or more to live here, so we qualified, and we are so happy that we came here more than a year ago now. It's the perfect place to live for us in Worcester, and wonderful people all around. So this was an opportunity to talk to somebody who's been here for a long time and knows everybody. Lorianne and I have lived for more than a year in a gated retirement community in Worcester called Hoogelegen Retirement Village, although we still struggle with pronouncing it. Today I'm in conversation with Marita Hofmeyr, who has been here since it started. Now, how long ago was that, Marita?
Actually, I came here in 2006, and the first houses were built in 2003 to 2004.
Okay, so not from right at the beginning.
But no, not from right.
You've been here for quite a nice long time. Welcome to CWCP Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
We're honoured. What was the vision that, as you see it, of the founders of this community?
I think the Rotary Club decided that they would put up a place where people can stay in their own houses for as long as possible, but in a place where they feel safe and they have companionship with others in the same circumstances.
So it was a Rotary Club initiative?
That was, yeah.
Somebody must have done a lot of raising of money and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, as far as I know, they got a firm to start off this, and they advertised these plots, and so people came to buy a plot, and then they put up the houses one by one.
It's such an attractive location because the views from here are spectacular, and the views of this village from the N1 as you drive past, you'll never forget it. So I'm going to imagine that some people bought units to live in and others bought them maybe to rent out to tenants, and others probably bought them as investments.
Yeah, all three of those are correct. Many people, young people, bought plots and had these houses built because for one day when their parents would perhaps come stay here, or they themselves.
It's more than just houses. There are facilities here which make the whole thing work, and we're very grateful to them. Would you describe the facilities here for the 136 dwellings?
That's not correct. It's 134 plots for houses, and then there are the separate flats in the heights, about 28 flats in there, and body corporate with 10 flats with the frail care centre, and then another section of 7 flats another group. So there are three body corporates for the sectional title scheme and the freehold components of the Hoogeliggen, the houses in here.
Yes, thank you for putting me right on that. I was just looking at the map that shows 136, the numbers, but that doesn't include the
facilities
that you just talked about.
Yeah, okay.
So what's your guess of how many individual people are here?
I think 250, more or less. There are not very many couples living here anymore. I think there are 9 single men and about 89 women. So it's a bit unbalanced.
You mentioned then the Frail Care Center. Mm. And there are other facilities. Let's talk about the Frail Care Center, because that is very impressive. Tell us about that.
Yeah, at the beginning, when this retirement village was started, there was no Frail Care Center. So the residents staying here decided that we need something like that. And so they took the initiative, and the Frail Care Center came to be built, and it's a wonderful achievement, I think, for the people who did that.
We all have these red buttons in our units. So if for example somebody falls on the floor and can't get up, if you've got that red button, somebody will come.
Yeah. Hmm. It's just for emergency use, and some people think they can press that to let them know that I'm waiting for my meal. When are you bringing my meal? But that's not it. It's really for emergencies, and we get about an average of about 30 per year call outs. And then the Frail Care Center personnel, they go out. We have a golf cart, so as to be there as quick as possible.
Can the nurses there usually deal with most of the things that are happening, or do they have to often send people to the hospital?
Yeah, the carer or the nursing person who comes out usually just let the seniors know at the facility, and then they would summon an ambulance, or the sister would go down, or perhaps call the children or the relatives nearby, or a doctor, according to what the urgency is to get someone at the hospital or get help from elsewhere.
Well, it's certainly a wonderful feeling of comfort to know that that exists, even if you never need it. Mm. That to know that it's there is a great thing here.
Mm. I think so. Yeah, that's true.
Now, there's the new hall, the new community hall that's just been built in the last 6 months. Tell us a little bit about how that's come about.
Yeah, right at the beginning, when building started here, the contractor put up a little building which later on became useful as an office. But then we decided, with so many people come to live here, we need a bigger office. And then we thought we'll just start off and buy and build an office, and then decided no, but we need much more than that. And so we decided we're going to do it on our own. We're going to build it. So without any help from outside, it was built with the help of residents, and they helped us to get enough money to get it built, and now we have to pay it off. You borrow money and you must pay back, so we're in the payback stage now.
What sort of facilities does it offer, and what's happening so far? What kind of things?
It's a community hall for residents. It's being used for church services, for parties, for concerts. There's a lovely braai, and people come together, and especially with all these ladies living here, to have someone to put a chop on the fire is quite nice to have, because you don't do it when you're a woman alone in your house. So it's a nice get-together for us.
So we've talked about the Frail Care Centre and the Community Hall. Is there anything else here that people would think of as a facility that's available to all the residents? Was that it?
I think that's more or less it. People living here like to do their own thing. They like gardening, so they do their own gardening. They like preparing food for themselves instead of having meals at the community centre. So I think they keep busy while doing the ordinary things that people do elsewhere. And we have to get into our cars to go shopping at the mall or in town. And that's also a facility just to get out and see the world outside Hoogelegen.
How many of the residents actually have cars? What proportion?
I think there are about 10 or 15 who don't have cars. That's one of the things that, although you're a senior, you're usually very capable behind the wheel. Not everybody thinks that, perhaps, but we think we're quite capable driving still.
Well, most elderly people have wisdom and patience. They're not always in a hurry, so that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
With the possible exception of the Duke of Edinburgh. Now, you speak very knowledgeably as I've asked these questions. Are you on the governing body of this organization?
Yes, I'm a trustee. We have a group of 7 trustees who run the management together with an office manager and someone looking after the terrain. At the moment, I'm the chairperson of the trustees.
So, no wonder you know what's going on. However, what I want to get to is the fact that completely separate from your official duties as the chairperson of trustees, you are also somebody that everybody knows here. And you know everybody.
Now,
yes. So there's a whole part of your life that's very much bound up with this community. I want you to talk about that, the kind of things that you do.
Okay. As I said, I came here in 2006. My husband passed away in 2004, and I stayed on at Franschkraal, where we used to live, for a few years. We were farmers, so after he got ill, we moved to Franschkraal. And then I came here, and after the loss of a husband, the world looks bleak in front of you. So coming to Hoogelegen gave me something to get up in the morning, to meet people, to build another life, different from what I had before. And as a person who is very fond of music, I carried on playing the organ, and I help with the exercises in the mornings. On a Monday morning, I play the piano and the ladies jump around getting fit. I take the lead in a Bible study group. And then we have also a singing group who comes together once a week just to sing along and enjoy each other's company. So this place is my husband, part of my family, and I make it my business to know everyone staying here. And it's a privilege, all the lovely friends that one can make here. I think to have a friend is to be one, and that's what I'd like to do.
Well, you know, in many organizations, businesses and commercial organizations, they have a president or a managing director and all that sort of stuff. But a lot of things that happen in those places are the result of individual people or an individual person who is very good at making things happen. There's even a name for this kind of person. He's called a fox. And is entirely good. And he doesn't have to work through all the red tape and everything else. So I think of you as, what's the female of a fox? I can't remember.
A vixen.
A vixen, I think. It doesn't sound very complimentary.
No, it's not complimentary. We have an Afrikaans word that sounds almost like that, and which is not a nice one.
No. Well, what I'm trying to say here is that I think so many people here see you as the go-to person, someone that they can call as a friend and ask if they need a little bit of help or advice. And they can rely on what you tell them. And they don't have to go through channels. They don't have to wait on telephones because you're easy to reach. And they also probably know that if you feel you should go and see them personally, then you will. So it's wonderful work that you're doing, although you probably don't think of it as work.
No, I don't think of it as work, but it's a privilege, really, to stay here. And we have an Afrikaans group who sings a song like it's in Afrikaans. Jewels fantastisch. That means wonderful, beautiful hills. Jewels fantastisch. Now, the houses are on the hill here, and somebody once said, we're staying in Jewels Fantastis, in a fantastic place.
Tell us a little bit about your life before you came here, you and your husband. You said you're involved in farming.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I was a teacher. He used to live at Stellenbosch, and we got married there, and after a few years we moved to Robertson, where we bought a farm, and we've stayed there for about 42 years. I kept on teaching, and I had my own dairy on the farm, and we had a farm stall at the cellar. So I'm used to keeping busy, and I'm a reader, and I'm an opera fan, so I have music all around me all the time. We have four children, and at the moment we have 10 grandchildren, ranging from 24 to 1 year old, so that keeps one busy all the time.
Sometimes on programs like this, the guest is asked if they have a favorite piece of music that we could play for them. Do you?
Oh, Bach's organ works, all of them, Toccata and Fugue, D minor. I think that's my favorite, and all Beethoven's music, especially the fifth piano concerto, and all choir music. There's too much. I don't have one single favorite.
We'll see if we can find one of those to entertain everybody else and to make you feel
okay
at home.
Thanks.
Looking forward, coming back to this retirement village, looking forward, are there things that you would like to see here that we don't have at present, or do you think we have just about everything we need?
I think if we could have Wi-Fi for the whole area, that would be nice. I think we have more or less what we can erect here, a little more of reaching out one to the other would be lovely. And perhaps we could do with a little bus to take people out. I would think that getting those who still care for going out and visiting places to have an outing now or then, to go sailing or to go to Cape Town and go to for a trip on a river or some nice things to do as a group. I think that would be lovely.
We feel very safe here, mainly because of the excellent security, the security guards. They all seem nice people. Can we expect this to continue at the same level of excellence, do you think?
Definitely. We're very proud of our security. There are flaws, but I think they do a good job, and we really are proud of the work that we get from them. And the one chap has been here for more than 5 years, so he knows all the people, and he can tell you, for instance, if somebody's driving isn't up to standard, he would tell you quite soon that we'll have to talk to Uncle so-and-so or Miss so-and-so, because they're a bit of a risk
For themselves.
For themselves and for the other drivers.
Yeah. Now, finally, and you may not be able to give me one of these, but can you think of any special memories of things that have happened here while you've been here that you felt was, wow, that was wonderful, or that was special, something that happened?
I think that one of the best days was when we opened the Frau Care Center, and we knew that now we could look after our people who needed the facility.
Mm.
I think so. I think that's one of the most wonderful days in Hoogelegen.
Yes, I can well imagine that, again, because it just allows people to feel relaxed.
Mm.
And that there's always somebody there that is going to be able to look after them if they should need it. And the people in that center are so nice and so friendly and helpful. Mm. I've been in there a few times just when I needed some information, and it's so good. Well, I want to thank you, Marita, for your experiences and for telling us about some of these things here. And we will look back on this when we've gone back to Canada, and it'll help us to remember how good it was to stay here.
Oh.
It was so good.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And as you requested, Marita, here is Beethoven's Fifth Piano Concerto, and I've chosen the second movement, played in this recording by Helene Grimaud.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in God, learning how God guides us, part 3. My name is Laurianne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last 2 broadcasts, we began to learn how we can seek guidance and some of the ways that God guides us. Nikki Gumbel compiles the main groups under the term CSs. These include commanding scripture, like when scriptures come alive to us personally, and compelling spirit, which includes some of the many ways that the Holy Spirit can speak more directly. We are caught up in the more supernatural ways under compelling spirit. We can hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a whisper. We can be given impressions, full movie-like visions, dreams, and inner knowings, which is similar to intuition. We can be helped and strengthened by angels. Some have had experiences of the audible voice of God, such as Jesus, the prophet Samuel, and Heidi Baker upon her conversion when she was 16. Heidi shared in the Compelled by Love movie that the voice told her that she was called to be a minister and a missionary, and she was to go to Africa, Asia, and England. The Holy Spirit can also touch our hearts through anointed Christian music and prophetic art. I know that some people are comforted with some of my own prophetic art. It speaks to their souls and gives them hope. It makes them feel loved. The other 3 CSs that Nikki Gumbel mentions in the Alpha Course are Common Sense, Counsel of the Saints, or Wise Praying Christians, and Circumstantial Signs. We'll journey through the first 2. Some Christians seem to put common sense to the side, but this kind of wisdom is important. We learn this through life experience, and it's also important when considering your life's direction. It's important to not get spooky spiritual and act like every aspect of our lives is supernatural. We need to be naturally supernatural. We may be blessed supernaturally and include this as a daily part of our lives, but we also live in a physical world. We also have been given minds to think, learn, meditate, and reason out things. Psalm 32, verse 9 reminds us to not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. We are encouraged to use our minds, albeit with divinely inspired ideas. The Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy in 2 Timothy, verse 7, to learn and grow. He told him, "To think about what I am saying, the Lord will help you understand all these things." Earlier, I mentioned it's important to be naturally supernatural and not spooky spiritual. Praying out loud in a weird voice and being overly religious in routine matters are silly things that abandon common sense. Nikki shares a story in Alpha about one lady who asked God for guidance on which shoes and socks and other clothing items she should wear. Some things are left for us to decide. As long as our clothes are clean and modest, there shouldn't be a problem. Nikki says it is true to say that God's promises of guidance were not given so that we could avoid the strain of thinking. Indeed, John Wesley, the father of Methodism, said that God usually guided him by presenting reasons to his mind for acting in a certain way. This is important in every area, especially in the areas of marriage and jobs. Some people choose to take a certain course of action that seems to be in line with Scripture. They may pray to be given reasons not to go ahead if it is not his will in that case, and to be given peace if it is the way that they should take. Back in late November 2018, my mother was in the hospital after some emergency bowel surgery. I prayed on whether I should return to Canada and stay with my parents, as I had done 3 years previously. At that time, my dad had been in the hospital for over a month. My sister begged me to come and care for them since she could not. After my dad was released, I cared for him in dispensing the right kind of medicine at the right time, while Mum and I worked on his meals. I'm glad that I was there for them during those months. Coming forward to last November, my initial thought when Mum was so ill was that I would be needed to help my dad care for her. They do have a personal care support worker, although this isn't always enough. So I prayed.
I prayed for wisdom, a dream, an impression, and had nothing. However, back in August 2016, I was given a dream where I had died, but my parents continued on and even thrived without my care. I remember sharing this dream with Marie, one of our Iris Western Cape leaders. Marie was given the insight to say, "You're worried about your parents. Holy Spirit is saying that He will care for them while you are away on mission." I did remember this dream, so it did give me comfort, and I did have peace that they would eventually be okay. My cousin and aunt stepped in. I had people pray. I texted Mom's care company with a heads up, and I was able to use my iPad to Skype both parents. I did all I could from a different continent in a different time zone. Later, when I shared this story, my friend and colleague Maggie was given the insight that it was actually my choice on whether I should return to Canada to help. Yet, what kept me in South Africa, apart from the dream I had been given, came down to common sense. I weighed pros and cons against each other. The pros were that it would be helpful to my parents and it would bless our relationship. The cons included the cost of airfare, other transport, and food. It also included the extra load on Tony being alone in ministry here in South Africa. While he could have managed, there was also our Western Coast holiday that he would go on alone, not too exciting for him. So I chose to stay and pray. After I made that decision, I had peace. Two other missionaries gave me comfort. One of them told me that she had lost both parents when she was away on missions, first in Asia, the second in Africa. It was not an easy decision. Thankfully, Mom had good care and my dad had some help, although he was out of his element. We look forward to our time with them on our home visit. We'll have 4 days in July. Common sense is one of the factors that need to be taken into account when we choose a partner for life. It is common sense to look at three important areas. Note, there are exceptions to the rule, but being in line with these helps. These include spiritual compatibility, personal compatibility, and physical compatibility. If you are a Christian, it is best to marry a Christian, preferably at a similar level in their journey of faith. The Apostle Paul advised that your spouse should be of the same faith so there is no battle on whose worldview comes first. This example is more extreme, but it does state the point that there is a dissonance that happens when there is such a difference. This example is in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 15 to 17. It says, "Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, that he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say, the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." That's the negative aspect. People of different faiths and worldviews will likely clash, or one will succumb to the other. It's not always a happy story, although there are exceptions. On the positive side, two Christians with like callings grow closer when praying, ministering, and studying the Bible together. As a couple, you are drawn together not only by a shared life and sex, but by a strong spiritual bond that deeply blesses both spouses. Tony and I acknowledged that bond in our wedding theme from Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Can you imagine what that third strand of the cord is? One strand is the husband, the second strand the wife. The third strand is Jesus. If God is at the center of the marriage will be strong and held together by Him. Potential spouses also need personal compatibility, such as a strong friendship with shared interests that have nothing to do with sex. Tony and I are married, but we're also friends. We share music, faith, humor, stories, shared ministry with children and teens, a love for prison ministry, and radio. We both love many kinds of music, although we aren't joined at the hip in all we do. We try to support each other in our different talents and interests. Tony encourages me in my art, and I support him and ask for his wisdom in many things, including engineering matters, his original discipline. We enjoy each other's company without jealously guarding the other for each waking moment. We do have other friends. And we do need physical compatibility to be attracted to each other. Nikki Gumbel jokes in an old Alpha video that God does not expect you to marry someone you're not attracted to. This doesn't take into account prearranged marriages where couples grow to love each other, but I'm thankful that these couples do find happiness that grows in their shared lives together. Common sense is also needed in finding jobs and careers. If you are in a specific career when you come to faith, it's best to stay there unless you are called to something different for a different season of your life. When I came to faith, I was an artist, but my income was as a grocery store cashier. I stayed there for another 7 years before I became an office worker. But that wasn't my career, it was my job. Somewhere between coming to faith and giving up my cashier job was my call into ministry. I called it ministry with a big M. I didn't know what that would look like at the time, whether I would be a hospital chaplain, assistant pastor, or a missionary. However, coming to faith does not mean that you will be a pastor or a missionary. You could be, but God can use you wherever you are. We need godly people in all professions. The Apostle Paul also encouraged the Corinthians who had become Christian to stay in their profession for at least a season. Here is what he says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17 and verses 20 to 24. Each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you, and remain as you were when God first called you. This is my rule for all the churches. Yes, each of you should remain as you were when God called you. Are you a slave? Don't let that worry you, but if you get a chance to be free, take it. And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you, you are now free in the Lord. And if you were free when the Lord called you, you are now a slave of Christ. God paid a high price for you, so don't be enslaved by the world. Each of you, dear brothers and sisters, should remain as you were when God first called you. Yet, if you feel increasingly uncomfortable in your job, then ask yourself, where is this job taking me? What is my long-term vision, and does it lead to it? Or should I go in another direction? Write out your pros and cons list, but be open to other ways that may confirm the way you go. Just before I left my cashier position, the company told us that they were giving everyone a pay cut, and for those who would leave, they would get $750 Canadian for every year they had worked for the company. This was a buyout. The pay cut was over $5 an hour, and I wasn't given that many hours as it was. I was tired from long hours on my feet, and while they originally said no to my request for the buyout, they eventually relented. I was given enough of a payout to buy a computer and nice office clothes. At the time, I was learning word processing and computers in between my first degree and studying for my second. I remember at the time that while I chose the route of leaving the job through common sense, this was confirmed by the still small voice of the Holy Spirit telling me that this was the end of an era. And so it was. I had worked as a cashier for 15 years. The next CS is Council of the Saints, where we seek wise, mature Christians for prayerful advice. These people could be mentors, pastors, older family members, and people you are drawn to for the godly wisdom. When I mention the word saints, perhaps some of you picture paintings or sculptures of heroes and heroines in church history. Some of these have been canonized in the Catholic Church. I don't specifically mean these people. Saints in a generic sense means anyone who has come to faith in Jesus Christ. Some of these people are very wise and very godly. Wisdom is regarded as an excellent virtue to live by and is elevated in the book of Proverbs. Generally, though, we can all agree with Proverbs 12, verse 15, which is, "A wise man listens to advice." We really don't know everything. We need help from each other to not make mistakes that will cause pain. Proverbs 15, verse 22 also reminds us that plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they will succeed. Proverbs 20, verse 18 advises that we need to make plans by seeking advice. However, Nikki Gumbel shares that while seeking advice is very important, we need to remember that ultimately our decisions are between us and God. They are our responsibility. We cannot shift that responsibility onto others or seek to blame them if things go wrong. The Council of the Saints is part of guidance, but it is not the only part. Sometimes it may be right to go ahead in spite of the advice of others, particularly if there's other guidance that leads that way. When Tony and I were preparing to come to South Africa for 3 years, we were not sure what to do with our condo. We wanted to rent it out and live there on our return. We were advised by our financial planner to sell the condo, invest that money, and not worry about the other overhead. This meant that on our return to Canada, we would have to rent an apartment. Tony initially seemed okay with this, but I grew uncomfortable and even angry. It just didn't seem right. So I asked my Facebook prayer group to pray into whether we should sell or just rent out our place. We also made a pro-con list, so we were also using common sense. Tony told me that if we sold, we would lose our equity line of credit and would not qualify for another one on our return to Canada. Then the prayerful advice rolled in from many in the group. Some had words of knowledge not to sell. Others had just an inner knowing that it wouldn't be right to sell. One friend telephoned to tell me so, and that to sell would be a major distraction. It was hard enough renting and clearing out our condo for the couple who eventually did rent. We would have been moved significantly off our timetable if we sold. I'm thankful now that we have a place to return to when we go back from our South African assignment. So when we are faced with a decision where we need advice, whom shall we consult? We need wisdom. The writer of Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 9, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is especially the case when advice is from those who love and revere the Lord. Nikki Gumbel says that the best advisors are usually godly Christian people with wisdom and experience whom we respect. It is also wise to seek the advice of parents whom we are to honor, even if we are past the ages of being under their authority. Even if they're not Christians, they know us very well and can often have important insights into situations. Nikki has found it a real help throughout his Christian life to have someone who is a mature Christian whom he respects and to whom he can go to for advice on a whole range of issues. Often God's insight has come as they talked through the issues together. When it comes to bigger decisions, it is helpful to seek a range of advice. When Nikki was facing whether to become an ordained Anglican priest, he sought the advice of his parents, his two closest friends, his pastor, and those who were involved in the official process of selection. The people whom we ask for advice should not be chosen on the basis that they will agree with what we've already planned to do. Don't just choose yes people who will rubber stamp your leaning. We should consult people on the basis of their spiritual authority or their relationship to us, regardless of what we may anticipate their views to be. Take your time when you are choosing. You don't need to be in a rush unless the decision is time sensitive, as ours was for selling or renting our condo. During this broadcast, I've shared some of the more practical ways that God guides us through common sense and counsel of the saints. Thinking things through logically on what works best in your situation is extremely valuable. Seeking godly advice is scripturally and practically important as a foundation. Wisdom is a godly virtue that at best points to God. I also remember an evening in harvest school where we were learning about the prophetic ministry from David Wagner. He called up people who had either never had a prophetic word given to them or had never given one to someone else. Tony went up and David took him under his wing. By the end of the evening, Tony was prophesying over people, loving them and encouraging them. His ears just needed to be fine-tuned. In the midst of this teaching, David stunned everyone by these words, "I want you to know that if any of you are lacking wisdom and want it, ask Tony. He has the gift of wisdom." And David wasn't just talking about common sense, logic, and compassion, which Tony has in abundance. Now he was being given a deposit of godly wisdom in tune with the heart of the Father. Yet still, we as a couple still need the love and guidance of God through our Christian community and our Irish family. We are not meant to live our faith on our own. This is all what the Council of the Saints is all about. We need each other. I pray that you have been blessed by our journey through some of the ways that God guides us. What I've shared is only a taste of a much larger menu. I encourage you to seek the scriptures yourselves. Ask Holy Spirit to still your heart, fill you with peace, and enlighten your common sense as you think through your decisions. Also listen to his promptings on whom to seek wise advice from. You're not alone. Lord, I ask that you will touch every heart that hears this broadcast. Point them to you. Open their inner eyes and ears to see you with them in whatever circumstance they are in. Surround and fill them with your love as they seek you. Show them that you have plans to prosper them and not to harm them. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Couples Western Cape Radio.
You'll bear fruit in season, you'll prosper. whisper like a tree planted by water.
Laura Woodley Osman from Catch the Fire in Hamilton near Toronto and Wisdom. Now we have a few more minutes and let's continue with some music that I believe Maretta would enjoy. She said she liked choral music, and the piece you're about to hear is by the Musica Sangers from an album called Cantabile and an item called Huit Suya Bornia Flikes. I probably got that wrong. But the interesting part about this, the piano was played by Thelme Lindy, who is one of our neighbours, as she is one of Maretta's neighbours. And that recording was made a few years ago, but it's homegrown from here in Worcester, and it's very beautiful. After this, we'll be saying goodbye to you for one more week. This is Tony signing off. Do tune in again next Thursday. God bless you all.